We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Friday. We are bookending our show a little bit. We started Monday with the business of film, an update on what's happening at the Milwaukee Film Festival. Ann Reed joined, give us her analysis on where that organization's going. We're going big movies today. Greg Marcus, the CEO of Marcus Corporation, will join us later in the show to highlight what's coming up for the end of the summer, what they're doing in Minneapolis with an acquisition, and then give us a preview of the big holiday movie season that's coming up. That always begins, Thanksgiving time? So really look forward to that. And Melanie Ricks is going to join for a while, tell us what she's up to, a new YouTube show that she's launching. She's got like four or five different jobs. We need to get an update on what's going on with Melanie. But first, always two up. Retail sales jump. Housing has fallen slightly. American households boosted their retail spending last month with strong vehicle sales. A little seasonality happening there, but helping to drive a higher than expected reading from last month in retail spending. Retail sales, just so you know, it's always a measure of the spending in stores, online, and in restaurants. It rose to a seasonally adjusted 1% in July, and that was released by the Commerce Department yesterday. Kind of a strong pickup from June, where sales were revised down 0.2%. Also on Thursday, initial jobless claims came out at a lower than expected 227,000 for last week. This from Bloomberg this morning. New home construction in the United States fell in July to the lowest level since the aftermath of the pandemic. Builders cutting back responded to a weaker demand that's keeping inventories still, and we're seeing this all across the metro Milwaukee area at high levels. Total housing starts decreased 6.8% to 1.2 million, an annualized rate from last month, dragging down the biggest decline in single-family units since April of 2020, according to government data that was just released this morning. It's a sizable decline, may have a little bit of impact. It's had some hurricanes, Hurricane Beryl out in the south, and other weather events could be driving some of that impact. Next up, has Subway lost its way? You know, I like to get my subs locally from Cousins. Every now and then, Jersey Mike's, but you know, Subway is just all over the place. Yesterday, you may have seen this. Subway convened an urgent meeting. The company called it essential, but the New York Post reported at first, saying that they called together all their North American franchisees amid growing concerns over declining sales and profitability. Company data from a bunch of regions indicated significant drop in same-store sales. People not buying as many subs as they used to. 10% down compared to the previous year, the New York Post reported. These challenges come as Subway faces additional financial pressures, including interest payments on debts from a recent sale. I wanted to get kind of some further analysis on this. So if we have time later in the show, Restaurant Business Magazine broke down the $5 footlong, all the costs, what it costs for the product, what it costs for the bread, what it costs for the interest payments. And it's really interesting. Everyone's like, oh, Subway needs to get back to the $5 footlongs and everything will be fine. Well, when you add up all the costs on the $5 footlongs, the franchisees aren't making a whole lot of money on those subs. So it'll be interesting to go through and walk you through exactly what it costs to make a $5 footlong. That's what we're doing on The Upswing, breaking it down on a dollar-by-dollar level at your sub shop, at your movie theater. And later in the show, What's the Upswing Coffee Index? Producer Jaslyn. Oh, they stopped at a great place in Cudahy. I stopped on the east side. Who's going to win today? We'll let you know later in the show. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Insights and analysis on your $5 footlong. I need to bring you this. This information I got just yesterday from Restaurant Business Magazine. They broke down the economics behind the $5 footlong. Now, this is really, really interesting. And next week, I hope to have some local restaurant business owners on to talk about their plate costs, which I think is even more fascinating. But let's take a look. I couldn't get a local Subway franchisee to get me all this information, but we get some insight from Minneapolis. Franchisees from Subway have to pay royalties. Okay, let's go back first. First, let's start with the labor costs that all the franchisees at Subways have to pay. Wages vary widely, right? Depending on where we're at, jurisdiction, increasing in this market and that market. So let's look at Minneapolis. Minneapolis has a minimum wage, you may not know this, of $13.25. It's a higher than average in many places, but the operators, no matter where you're at, you have to pay that wage. So then you add 20% on for workers' compensation costs, bringing the wage up to $15.90 per hour. So according to Minneapolis Subway owners, the operators should be able to produce an average of 8 subs per hour on a typical day, including prep work, slow times, and busy times. So based upon 8 subs, the labor costs for a sub made at a Minneapolis Subway location is $1.99. That's 40% labor costs on a $5 sub. Then there's the food costs. The cheapest sub is $1.82 to make. You add on additional costs, like 62 cents that they have to pay on royalties and ad funds. And suddenly, the franchisee's cost to make a $5 footlong, it's more than $5. So it's tough out there no matter where you are. But you know what? We all get creative. And we all have a whole lot of fun. And sometimes you got to work like 4 or 5 different jobs just to pay for your subs. And that's all right. That's what we're bringing you here on The Upswing. I believe we have Melanie Ricks, who is the Bucks in-game host and digital reporter on the line. Melanie, how are you this morning? Oh, well, I'm sorry. We did not. My apologies. She is not joining us yet. We hope to have her on the line to talk about her new YouTube show and how young content creators can monetize their space online. But we'll look forward to talking to Melanie very soon in the next couple minutes on the show. All right. So as we get ready to talk to Greg Marcus on the business of movies this coming weekend in the theaters, you know what's opening? Alien Romulus opens its weekend. Many think that the Alien movie franchise is the best sci-fi horror franchise that there is. We'll see. This is the 7th film in the proper Alien series, if we aren't counting, you know, all those Alien versus Predators movies. But it's going to build the box office for Marcus for sure. And they got a lot of specials on tap to monetize and expand their audience, giving big releases, especially one like Alien. And Aliens have been around for years because you're able to bring the younger people and the older people back into the theaters because of the longevity of a movie franchise like Alien. It will be great to get Greg Marcus's insights as to how Marcus continues to build their business. And we're also going to look at what they're doing in Minneapolis and get his take on the difference of the economics in the Minneapolis downtown compared to the Milwaukee downtown. It will be really interesting to hear his thoughts on what's happening in Minneapolis versus Milwaukee. Speaking of downtown Milwaukee, next week, downtown employment, downtown employee appreciation begins from Milwaukee downtown. Events all over downtown, including at the Baird Center, where a big kickoff is happening for all downtown employees. You get free coffee and events all week long with Milwaukee downtown. We will highlight that on Monday to give you insight as to what's happening in the downtown area with downtown employees and Milwaukee downtown's big downtown employee appreciation week. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Content, community, and commerce. That's what we do on The Upswing. Joining us on the phone is Melanie Ricks, Bucks in-game host and digital reporter. Mel, you're all about content, community, and commerce. That's what you do each and every day.
Oh, I love that. Content, community, and commerce. That's exactly it. We're all about it. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Yeah, of course. So happy belated birthday first. Are you?
Oh, thank you.
Do you embrace the birthday and just celebrate it all month long? Or are you just one night and I'm done, I'm moving on?
It's a little bit of both, I have to say. Like, I've always felt like my birthday is a holiday. I don't know why. Even when I was a kid, it just felt like the best day ever. So, I'm kind of a month long, like it's my birthday month. But my friends are like, no, you get one day. So it's a little bit of both.
That's good. I like it. You got to embrace it. And you got to celebrate
exactly.
Big time, no matter what. So is there an off season for you? I always love to ask sports journalists, like, does it ever end? Do you ever get to take a little bit of downtime and just take a breath and analyze? Or you just go from one thing to another, one season to another, and there's just no off season anymore?
That's a great question. So there is a bit of an off season.
Okay.
I was fortunate this season. Let's be honest. We want to be playing until mid-June.
Right.
But with us, we were done early May. So I've actually had quite a bit of an off season since early May. But for me, this season, it was actually my first time just having like a full summer to kind of like debrief and kind of, you know, reflect on the year and everything like that. Because I've never had that type of full-time job where, like a teacher, it's like you work during the school year and then you're off in the summers. And so for me, it's been a lot of, okay, so what went right? What went wrong? How can I improve? So a lot of self-reflection and just like getting ready for next season. So it's been a really good off-season for me.
You're right. That should be fun heading into the new seasons, both in college football and obviously professional basketball. It just gives you that insight to kind of look within yourself and, hey, what did I do well? What do I want to improve on? And just gives you additional time to kind of do research and work on you. I like it. So are you excited for your Big Ten Network college football duties to begin?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. This is my first sideline role with college football in general. But, yeah, I'm really excited. It'll be nice to just delve into another sport, especially mm-hmm. college football. I've always been so passionate about football. So, yeah, I think it'll be exciting.
Very good. And you have a new YouTube show that you're putting together. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, so thank you so much. That's why I wanted to come and talk to your audience. So it's called Nothing But the Truth with Melanie Ricks.
Okay.
That's what my former radio show was also called, but this is going to be the digital YouTube version. So I'd like to say it's Nothing But the Truth with Melanie Ricks 2.0. So you can catch us every Wednesday. We're going to drop a video.
Okay.
The first video is going to drop this Wednesday, August 21st. And I like to say that it's like the show that's like Seinfeld, where it's a show about nothing, but the show about everything. So we just like talking life. You know, we'll talk pop culture. Of course, we're going to talk sports, Bucks. And Jeff, my thing is I like relatable topics, like things that anybody can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you hear it and you're like, oh, like there's some relation to that in my life. So, yeah, that's what I'm all about.
All right. Will you have guests or will it just be you? Give us a little bit more insight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we'll have guests, but it's going to be primarily me. I'll be the main voice, but
okay.
I definitely want to have some co-hosts. And, you know, I have some certain coworkers who definitely have delved into the podcast world. So I'm sure you'll see some guest appearances from them as well. It's going to be really fun. And I'm all about the interviews. I really am. But I'm also about having kind of like a co-host type of role. I like having guest hosts, Jeff, because
mm-hmm.
I like getting different perspectives. It's just nice, you know, bouncing different thoughts off of others.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. So what advice do you have, Melanie, for kind of young content creators? I'm thinking, you know, someone 16 or 17 that is kind of building their social media presence, but wants to get into the business, but it kind of struggles to say, how can I monetize my content? What should I look for? And like, just give us the Melanie mentorship model, because I get this question a lot too.
I love that. So just so you know, I'm probably going to trademark what you just said, the Melanie mentorship model.
Done.
So
all right.
We'll pretend like I said that first.
All right.
No, you'll get 10%.
All right.
No,
thank you. I appreciate that.
That's a great question. You know what? First off, I think it's so important for every young person to advocate for themselves, and you got to speak up for yourself. If there's something that you want, you got to go after it. You got to get it. And don't be afraid to tell those who are in positions of power what your dreams are. I genuinely do not feel that I would be where I am personally or professionally if I didn't speak up. So I think the biggest thing is just not being afraid to speak your mind and just telling people, hey, this is what I think I'm good at. This is what I'm interested in. Where do I go from here? Because I think that professional development is so important. And I mean, Jeff, it's like, you know, you graduate college and then you're looking at all of these starter jobs or these entry-level positions, and it's like, but you need 4 years of experience. It's like, okay, but where do I get that? And so then you ask about the content creation and making money on that. And
yeah.
I think with that, posting. It's so important to be consistent. It's important to post as often as possible. I have friends that have made money because they're now in the hundreds of thousands of social media followers. And they're gym rats. You know, they're people who are at the gym, or, you know, they're fashionistas. Like, they're people who are doing everyday things. It's not like they're, like, you know, the tech people of the world. Like, they're not, like, up there, but they're up there in a different way. And it's because they got there from doing what they're passionate about. So it's like, whatever you're passionate about, don't let anyone tell you that you can't achieve whatever you want with that passion. I think it's possible for anyone.
That is beautiful. Melanie Ricks with a wonderful Melanie mentorship model right there on the upswing. All the best with the new YouTube show. I'll be watching. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again very
soon. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Mel. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by the CEO of Marcus Corporation, Greg Marcus. It's Friday. We're going to talk films and movies. The business of entertainment, it's ever-changing. Actually, you know what? It's not ever-changing. It's changed a whole lot, and I think that's okay. Everyone's wondering, ooh, are movies coming back? They may not come back like what we thought they were 10 years ago, but that's okay. Companies like Milwaukee-based Marcus Corporation are constantly innovating. They're constantly battling and fighting to kind of starve off our living rooms. Kind of, you know, there's some decline in attendance at theaters, but that's all right. That's the way business moves and evolve. Marcus is looking at new ways to bring theatergoers back in front of the big screens. There's always new releases. There's always innovations, including loyalty programs, free popcorn, and a whole lot more. So, Greg, first, thanks for taking time and being in the studio this morning. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So how is Marcus adapting to just kind of the new business models and addressing changing customer habits? You know, just everyone talks about the importance of streaming, and we all have five or six bundles at home. But how are you counterbalancing that from a corporation?
Well, actually, I'm going to challenge you a little bit.
Okay, please do.
This whole
I like
point
that.
Of, you know, it's changing, and it's okay if attendance isn't what it was. Actually, I don't feel that way.
Okay.
And it doesn't need to be that way. That is not because the consumer is changing. You know, it's very easy, I guess, to fall into this. Well, it's streaming against the movies. That's like the ultimate cage match, I guess, for media.
Right.
But that's not really what the real battle, frankly. And if you look at what's going on with these companies, I can tell you how this impacts us, but it's not how you think. It's streaming versus TV, because movies have been on your TV for a very long time, and
that
movies have been on your TV without ads. If you wanted to see a movie on HBO, you could see a movie on HBO without ads. Now you have the only difference really is that you can determine, you know, what time you want to watch it. Even so much, you used to be able to determine what time, but you have access to a deeper library.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the big difference. But the battle, the real cage match, is what we call linear against streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us. It does affect us.
Right.
Because the more stuff they pump into your home, the harder it is to get somebody off the couch. And so it's our battle, which has been an ongoing battle forever. since the advent of TV,
yeah,
to get people off the couch and to motivate them. But the one thing that hasn't changed is human behavior. And what differentiates us is that humans want to be together. Humans, just by our genetic coding, mm-hmm, for whatever benefit it serves us, for evolution, we want to be together as people. We want to congregate together. We are more successful when we are together. There's a book called Bowling Alone. It's a mm-hmm famous book,
yeah,
20-some-odd years old. It talks about how communities that have high bonds of social trust do better economically, health, happiness, everything. What does that mean? It means if I trust my neighbor, how do you trust your neighbor? And how do you trust not just a neighbor, that someone coming, if you were on the side of the road with a flat and somebody pulled up that you thought that person's coming to help me, not mm-hmm to hurt me. Those bonds of trust are built by being together.
Yeah.
The term bowling alone was coined because he's like, less people are going to Rotary. This is, by the way, this is pre-pandemic, pre-internet, all this stuff. It was less people are going to Rotary, less people are going to houses of worship, less people are bowling in bowling leagues, bowling alone. And so we need to have people together more. Theaters are that opportunity, yeah, on top of everything else. But there is this desire to be together. The problem we have, actually, as an industry, is there's not enough movies being released. Mm. But when they're released, man, I mean, look what just happened with Deadpool. That's the highest R-rated movie, highest grossing R-rated movie that ever happened. Look at Barbenheimer last year.
Yeah.
Look at these movies. Last year, the great stat I look at is box office was down about 20% from its peak.
Okay.
The number of releases were down 20% from their peak. It correlates pretty tightly, and it shows that people, I have a simple saying, as long as there's a 16-year-old, someone's getting out of the house. So as long as we keep creating those, we're in good shape.
The quality of content will drive commerce and community. That's what it's all about. I've always had a kitchen in my house. I'm sure you have too, Greg. You know what? We still go out to eat.
That was my grandfather's favorite line.
Yeah, that's right. Without a doubt. So when we come back, I want to talk about going out to eat and the economics of concessions and how that is changing in the movie business. Greg Marcus, CEO of Marcus Corporation, joins us. This is The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, Friday Film Commerce, Community Connections, and more. That's what we do on The Upswing. Greg Marcus, CEO of Marcus Corporation, joins us. So when you look at where the money goes on ticket sales, a lot of that, about half the money from ticket sales at movies goes to the studios, and the theaters are able to keep a much bigger margin on concessions. Greg, when you look at the economics of concessions, are consumers demanding more than popcorn, a drink, and nachos, or candy? Or is that like that comfort and consistency, you want to give them more of that? How do you balance that when you're looking at the economics of food and beverage at theaters?
Well, I think the way we've looked at it, and if you know what we've done over the last 10 years, we've really expanded what we offer.
Yeah.
You know, from the Zaffiro's Pizza, where we actually have deck ovens in these theaters, where we don't just put it on a conveyor.
Yeah.
And we make this great pizza, and we've got, you know, bars with, you know, drinks and specialty drinks and beer and wine and all sorts of stuff going on, and all the different, how much more broad the menu has become. That was simply a way of saying, well, is there a way to get a greater share of wallet? Because a lot of people say, hey, what are we going to do tonight? Let's go to dinner and go to the movies. We're like, well, if you're going to go to dinner, you may as well come to us. The one thing I think is different about us, and it strikes me, and I suspect there are people who are listening who don't know this, but our food's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's funny. When you're so close to something, you don't necessarily realize it. And I was in one of our theaters about a year ago or so, and someone was eating our pizza, and they said, this is so good. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. And they're like, yeah, I'm surprised. It's in a movie theater. I thought it was going to be just bad. And,
right,
you know, because, look, the popcorn's always great in most movie theaters. But when you start getting broader, no, I think a lot of people know. And as with time, they will continue to learn how good that product is. But that's really what it's about, which was trying to get a greater share of wallet. And if you're going out, start off and have dinner with,
yep,
us, too.
So the more upscale food and beverage offerings, like the pizza and the cocktails, obviously bring in additional revenue, but just, you know, enhance the overall experience.
Yeah, again, it's how do we get someone off that couch? That's the battle.
Yeah.
Our burgers could be one of my favorite burgers of all time, and I eat a lot of burgers.
All right, very good. So you, Marcus Corporation, is taking over the operations of Showplace Icon Theater and Kitchen. It's at the Shops of West End, closed last month just outside of Minneapolis. Can you compare and contrast the environment in Milwaukee and Minneapolis for us?
Sure. I mean, you know, they're... Well, I know my audience.
Milwaukee is
Twins,
better.
Brewers,
yes.
And I happen to, you know, I live here and grew up here, so yeah. I'm a homer. So
yeah.
I love Milwaukee, and I love living here and loving a part of this community. They are similar in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They're different. They have, you know, look at Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee, with the lakefront and the physical assets we have, gives us that advantage from a physical presence standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
From a location standpoint, Minneapolis, you know, it's sort of the last large city before Denver. And, you know, if you're sending up regional offices back when people used to go to their office, I hope that starts to actually keep going back. Going back to this idea of humans should be together instead of sitting in their house losing their minds. The idea that if you are setting up regional offices, having Milwaukee and Chicago be so close together, sometimes someone says, "Well, I don't need both, but I'd go to Minneapolis." So that's probably given Minneapolis a little bit more of an economic boost than we might necessarily get from that piece of it.
Yeah.
But Minneapolis has hit its share of troubles too, and in a way that Milwaukee, look at Milwaukee has its problems too, but Minneapolis really has had some issues. But I believe, like Milwaukee, Minneapolis is a great city, and it's going to come back, and it's already started to have its comeback, and that will continue. And we looked at it and said, well, we want to invest in places that we think fundamentally are strong.
Yeah, and I think there's just kind of a general awareness now that, hey, things are really good in the Midwest, and there's more of a spotlight on the Midwest now than there ever was, and that's a good thing for all businesses, I think.
Absolutely.
So the thing that I am always proud of is that Marcus Theaters is the fourth largest theater company in the United States, still based right here in Milwaukee and all about family. When we come back, Greg, I want to have you talk about, you know, is that a difference maker for you, and how do you go up against the larger chains, no matter if it's Minneapolis or any of your other markets? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing Friday at the Movies. Greg Marcus, CEO of Marcus Corporation, joins us. So, Greg, when you look at costs from a holistic level, I'm guessing some of the moviegoers come into the theater and roll their eyes and complain at $7 sodas. What do you say to that customer?
I say, yeah, I agree with them. it does seem, you look at it, you go, God, that's expensive. I mean, we have to remember, you know, what I try to remember, and it's hard to really explain, but to think about, okay, you're paying for a whole experience, and it's, for us, it's an exercise in pricing theory. We could charge more for the tickets, charge less for the concessions. What's that right balance? We try to find that right balance. We also look at what you pay to go out. Yes, you know, again, going, it's cheaper to eat at home, as your point. It has a kitchen in every home. But you go out. What are you going out for? You're going out and you're paying for service. Rolled into that is the service and all the things that we have to do to present a movie and to have the building ready and all the things that the expenses that go into that. But we also try to be sensitive to that customer so that we can have things like a discount Tuesday where it's now $6, or we give the popcorn away for free.
Okay.
We run discounts all the time. We have a new program that I can't get into just yet, but it's coming soon, a teaser.
The tease.
But there will be ways to lower the cost of concessions for the customer that's going to come with some frequency.
Hmm.
But still, at the end of the day, yeah, it's more expensive than if I just go to the grocery store and buy a soda. There's no doubt about it. But they're not showing a movie in the grocery store.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, some type of loyalty program, the impact of those loyalty programs that most of the theater chains have, how important is that to your business?
It's very important. It's really important because it's a two-way street. One is it rewards our most loyal customers. But the other thing that it does for us is that it allows us to know so much more about our customers. And then we can tailor offers to the customers, knowing who, you know, I mean, if you think about, this is strange, probably nobody understood this, but in the movie theater business, until there was a loyalty program, so until about 8 to 10 years ago, We never knew who was coming. I mean, because people paid cash. They'd come in the door. We didn't know who came to the movies. We had no idea unless, you know, someone said, hey, I went to the movies. But that's not really a very effective way to market if people are telling me they went to the movies. So, you know, having that loyalty program, knowing who the customer is, being able to market them, tailor offers to that specific customer, reach out to them, contact them. You know, we just were talking to somebody about, I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, the Indian movies, the Asian Indian movies.
Okay.
And we have this whole, we play a slate of Asian Indian movies, and we need to make sure that customer even knows that it exists. And the only way we can do that is if we have them in the loyalty club so that we can reach out to them and say, hey, this movie's showing. They want that information.
Yeah. Data drives decisions on both the consumer side, but on the business side, and it's truly important. So what are you looking forward to this holiday season in terms of the big releases? You have, what, Moana 2, Lord of the Rings, Gladiator 2. Like, how important is the upcoming holiday season to Marcus?
Well, holidays are, of course, very important, but let's just not forget about tomorrow. Today, Alien is opening.
That's right.
That movie terrified me. I saw that movie, literally, it was just across the street from here on Wisconsin Avenue in what was then called the Center Theater, previewing the Grand Theater, which is now Symphony Hall. Yeah. Years, I was a kid, I was... Oh, my God, was I scared.
Yeah, I mean, those big franchises like Alien, where you have multiple films and multiple generations, that's where I'm able, you know, as a father, I'm able to bring my 12-year-old to that movie, and we're able to have that cross-generational experience. I think that's really important, and that's why the franchise model works really well.
Oh, yeah. Just, again, it gives that, to your point, what a great memory. What we always talk about is we're in the memory business.
Yeah.
And you're forming memories with your 12-year-old, and it doesn't matter if you're going to a huge event film or just something that's, I mean, I went and saw Despicable Me 4. You take your kid to Despicable Me 4, they're going to have fun at that movie, and then they're going to remember my dad cared enough to take me to the movies. Isn't that cool? But you got that coming, you've got Beetlejuice coming. That's another cross-generational.
Yeah,
I hate to say it. It feels like it was yesterday, but it's going to be cross-generational.
All right.
Joker coming, all sorts of good stuff.
Movies and memories. Making it all happen. I appreciate Greg Marcus taking time this morning from the Marcus Corporation.